Good morning. Our scripture lesson today is Psalm 40, a psalm of thanksgiving for liberation and prayer for help. I waited patiently for the Lord. The Lord inclined to me and heard my cry and drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. These are our sacred stories. Thanks be to God.
The heading for Psalm 40 in my Bible reads, Thanksgiving for Liberation and a Prayer for Help. Liberation is about release for those who are oppressed, enslaved, abused. We worship a God of liberation, a God who, as the psalmist writes, heard my cry and drew me up from a desolate pit out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. God put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. But for the psalmist, and for so many of us, this song of praise is in a minor key. The psalmist notes, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. I'm grateful for the placement of this psalm in Eastertide. The followers of Jesus are baffled after his death. Their narrative has been broken. They're confused. The disciples are grieving Jesus, struggling with his death and their loss, and wondering what to do now, how to keep living. They have the same sense of profound displacement that comes to those living with tremendous loss, a sense of being adrift in a world that outwardly looks the same, but has become a strange land in which they do not know where to turn. Part of the truth of Easter is naming the pain in which it was born, all that led to Jesus' death, all the confusion, all the grief. As much as I love the joyful shouts of Hallelujah on Easter Sunday, some part of me finds it too much, too exuberant, too complete. There's more to the Easter story. There's brokenness and pain. It's both, it's all. It's the cold and broken Hallelujah Leonard Cohen sang about. The resurrection appearances of Jesus are full of joyful surprise and painful leave-taking. The disciples are forced to say goodbye over and over. They don't recognize Jesus when they first encounter him after his resurrection. Jesus has to show them his scars. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them the marks on his hands and his side, a painful reminder of his death, of their denial. Scars mark our suffering and our survival. Thomas declares he will not believe unless he sees Jesus' hands and side, the scars, the proof of suffering and pain. As a teenager, I longed for a scar that would tell everyone who saw me that I was wounded, that I was living and loving, and that I would never be the same, that my mother's death changed me, marked me. For my 40th birthday, I got a white ink tattoo. It says Grace and has an olive branch. My mother's middle name was Grace, and her mother's. Grace was also the name of my great-grandmother. When I first saw a white ink tattoo on pale skin, I knew I wanted one. To my eyes, it looks like a scar that I imagine the psalmist would understand. Praise and sorrow can live together. We don't need to choose, and some of us cannot choose. Every moment of sheer delight since my mother's death has also contained deep sorrow. My covenant ceremony with Nick, my ordination at Covenant, the birth of my children, joy and sorrow. These days of pandemic contain wonder and praise, gratitude and hope, and they also contain fear and desperation and such deep sorrow at the loss of life, at the sacrifices so many are making, at the suffering of the sick and the poor and the lonely. In addition to these painful emotions, I'm now feeling anger and dismay as cries and tweets, picket signs and t-shirts all call for liberation. In Psalm 40, the psalmist cries out to God for deliverance, trusting that God will help. The psalmist knows God to be a God of liberation. Throughout the Bible, God declares God's self to be a God of freedom. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of slavery. This moniker is repeated again and again. It's in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. It's in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, in Psalms, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, and Micah. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, out of slavery. Jesus summarizes his work on earth this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. These sacred ideals of freedom and liberation stand in sharp contrast to what we're seeing people do these days. People who are willing to risk their health and the health and welfare of others. Instead of working for freedom and safety on behalf of all, many are demanding the reopening of businesses and houses of worship with blatant disregard to needed precautions. This is not to discount the concerns of people who are unemployed or underemployed, who are on the brink of financial catastrophe, who fear for their families. But much of what is occurring is not liberation. Instead, it's the worst kind of cynicism and self-centeredness. It's reckless and dangerous. It's abusive to an already overwhelmed healthcare system, and to the courageous and exhausted medical personnel who've taken extraordinary measures to save lives while placing their own health at risk. Millions of American workers are now furloughed or unemployed. People are frustrated and afraid. Staying home without work or an income or any confidence that the government will come through with assistance that is timely and fair is, at the least, it's extremely hard. The juxtaposition of people protesting because they want to get a haircut or a manicure, while thousands wait in long lines for food for themselves and their families, highlights the painful reality of the tremendous disparity in this country. People waving Confederate flags and promoting open carry laws by wielding assault rifles and wearing ammunition belts draped across their chests are not freedom fighters. Those who exploit the crisis of a global pandemic for their own political purposes and personal gain are not liberators. The misuse of the ideal of liberation is insidious, racist, and cruel. In contrast, liberation movements have been about equality, especially for people of color. Freedom fighters and writers and marchers of the past have worked for the betterment of the entire community, for justice, equality, and liberation for all. We must not allow the misuse of freedom and liberation that ignores the common good and endangers others and insults the sacrifice of those who've worked for true liberation in the past to go unchallenged. This is a matter of compassion. Whether or not we know their names and their backgrounds, we must care about people in vulnerable populations who are struggling to survive physically and financially. We must care about the elderly in nursing homes and other communities who are at risk. We must care about every person who falls ill, knowing many will not survive. We are called by God to have compassion toward those who must endure sickness and death alone, and their families and friends who are unable even to sit beside them. This is a matter of justice. We must advocate on behalf of those who are most vulnerable to the coronavirus, especially the poor, the unhoused, the marginalized, and the powerless. In addition to health concerns, many of our neighbors are experiencing racial prejudice, especially those who are Asians, Asian Americans, and immigrants. We must stand against prejudice and xenophobia. Liberation is the work of God. It's the work of justice that we, God's people, are called to do. The psalmist says, "I've told the glad news of deliverance and the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I've not hidden your saving help within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation." The psalmist sings a new song. And there is a new song to sing. We cannot go back to the way things were. This is an opportunity for real liberation, an opportunity for community, an opportunity for a community where all the members can thrive. We must voice our vigorous opposition to government and religious leaders who are abusing the ideals of liberation. We must confront and speak out against attitudes, actions, and policies that expose millions to illness and death and callously place profit above people. We must oppose those who degrade and undermine science, those at all levels of government who fail to cooperate to provide access to medical equipment and supplies, those leaders who hollow out government agencies and rob the public of desperately needed expertise and experience, those who blame and scapegoat, targeting especially minorities, immigrants, and refugees, those who suspend civil rights, and those who strip away hard-won and sensible environmental protections. There is work to do. A song needs to be sung, a new song of true liberation. The scars of Easter do not stop the work of Easter. We live and love and we work for liberation. We care for those who suffer. We share the story of God, the story of freedom and justice. We have scars, literal and figurative scars, not just on our bodies, but on our country. And we have wounds that have not yet scarred over. Wounds that are still open and festering. Wounds like racism, sexism, xenophobia, homophobia. We must do the work of God the Liberator. Work for healing and wholeness. Work for justice. Eastertide's alleluias are an acknowledgement of pain and suffering, of love and hope all held together and given voice. The story is told and lived, the story of sacred liberation for the oppressed, the abused, the neglected. We are part of this story. Our voices are important, especially important in these days when some seek to turn the ideals of liberation on their head. Liberation is about community. It's about justice and care for everyone, not the privileged, not the powerful, everyone. We are needed. We've got stories to tell, scars to show, songs of praise and sorrow, hallelujahs to shout and cry, work for compassion and justice to do. We are part of God's ongoing work of liberation. Thanks be to God. Amen.